Welcome to a very special episode of Nerds Who Banana Movie Podcast. I have my good friend and sponsor of the channel, Duffy Boy from Duffy Boys Comics. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am doing great, my friend. I am very excited to sit down and nerd out for a little bit.
Oh man, it's gonna be fun. We were talking a little bit before. I have a sneaking suspicion that our first topic, Peacemaker, we're gonna be right as rain. Everything's gonna be exactly the same. We're all gonna be agreeing, and then come the Batman, and we'll have a slight disagreement, from what I'm guessing.
I'm guessing we'll have a little bit of differences, but I don't think we're on opposite sides of the spectrum.
No, I think I hold it a little higher than some people would, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first off, let's talk about the amazing, the amazing James Gunn, written, directed, produced, all of it, Peacemaker on HBO Max. So first off, how much did you love Peacemaker?
I'm saying it's my favorite thing I've seen on television in the last year, and not just from January. I'm talking like a year's worth of TV. It's probably been my favorite thing.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with you on that. It was, granted, all the Marvel shows have been pretty good or top notch. You know, they've been either adequate or amazing, but this show really took it to the next level. And I feel like this is the lane that DC needs to stay in, the gritty, like cursing, vulgar, like all that stuff, because Marvel won't do that. I mean, they may. I've heard some rumors that there's going to be like an R-rated side with like Punisher and stuff like that, but we will, as of right this moment, it's definitely not something that Marvel is really willing to do. So they could take this whole lane and just dominate.
Yeah, and I think with Teen Titans and Doom Patrol and now Peacemaker, they're well on their way. They should just make TV shows and stop doing movies.
Hey, all right, I'll say this. They need to stop making movies unless Gunn is doing it. Because Suicide Squad was amazing too. And I mean,
I did like Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I feel like if in a normal, let's just say, situation, it would have done amazing at the box office, but thanks to the pandemic and all the other stuff, I mean, it suffered from that, and that's clear, especially, you know, when you have it on HBO Max for free the same day. Where's the incentive to go to the movie theater?
Yeah, exactly. No, and that was pure James Gunn too. Maybe I'm more of a James Gunn fan than a DC verse fan at the moment, but man, I felt like when I watched that Suicide Squad movie, and then after seeing Peacemaker, I felt like he was like, "Okay, I'll do your Suicide Squad if I get to make my Peacemaker."
Yeah, no, I
they both had James Gunn all over them, but
I definitely have to agree with you. He's sorry,
like, I'll do your studio movie.
Yeah, and then when this does well, I get a second season than any spinoffs I want.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm all in.
Me too. Oh, absolutely. All right, so who... Now, I mean, I feel like the obvious choice for favorite character would be like John Cena, because I spoke about it on my podcast. He blew me away with his acting ability. I mean, he's a big dude. He can do all the stunts. He looked good doing all that. But like the emotional range that he showed really just it surprised me. It wowed me. I was impressed.
Yeah, I was too. I remember talking to you after one of the episodes going, I don't think I would ever say this, but John Cena made me laugh, and then he made me cry, and then he...
his range really is good. Scary at this point. Like, it really is. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to take the main character, John Cena, Peacemaker, off. Who is your favorite character besides Peacemaker?
Man, that's a good question. They really did a good job of developing, I think, all the characters.
Yes.
And making them really fun. So it's hard to decide. I mean, Man, I loved Eagly.
Dude, take a picture. He's hugging me right now. I love that scene later when Adebayo sighs like, babe, I just saw an eagle hug a human. That's gotta mean something, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I was really on board for Eagly. Man, I loved like the more minor the character, I think the better, like I don't want to say better, but like the more minor the character, the more I think freedom and fun they were allowed to have with it. Like Judo Master was so freaking awesome.
Yes. I loved how he was always eating and just like staring at people like
And even Gore was the name of the main butterfly, right? I'm trying to remember
I believe so. Why am the Yeah, I'm
the
drawing
one
a
that they
blank
had like in
now.
the jar and
No, Goff,
everything.
Goff, Goff.
Goth, that's right. That's right. So I'm thinking of Thor. but I mean, like they did a really good job of like making that butterfly like a character. But like, man, if I had to pick out of like the main crew, Vigilante, like they killed it with Vigilante.
Yeah, oh man, I agree. Vigilante was awesome. And I remember when I first watched the trailer, I was like, oh no. I'm not gonna like this rendition of Vigilante. He's stupid. I am not for this. But then they built him up so well that it really turned him to an amazing character. My favorite is because I'm a film nerd. I love like truly dynamic characters. And the path that Adebayo took on the show, Danielle Brooks absolutely slaughtered it. Like she had this like youthful, like giddy almost initially, and then it turned and she got real and like she was a badass. Like toward at the end of the series, you're looking at it going, "Whoa, where did that come from?" Like she went all Jason Bourne. It was crazy.
Oh yeah. I freaking love though when he's all pissed at her and uses her as the torpedo over and over.
No, like, when at
But
the
I mean,
when
that's a
it just when she
testament to her
falls out the
badass.
bottom, when she falls out the bottom, it's just like, what the fuck? Oh my God. No, I agree. Like she like between those, it's those two for me. And I have to admit, obviously, Harcourt and Economist, they're both awesome too. And what I want to point out about the rest of the cast is how well they all played the themselves and then as butterflies. Like that scene where they were
Agreed.
walking out of the prison or the jail, wherever they were, with those smiles. It was haunting. It was beautiful. And it just, I'm just watching this like, this is absolute genius. Like it's just absolutely brilliant storytelling. And I definitely was very caught off guard. I mean, I anticipated I was gonna like it. I mean, as you see, we were talking earlier, James Gunn did it. So 9 times out of 10, I'm already there. So I feel
He
like
gets so
I'm,
good with a team.
yes, I
He
think
lets like,
that good.
oh no, I was gonna say he's such a actor's director that like you can tell he's worked like he's not like telling all the actors what to do, but he did have a lot of coaching them so they know who they are. And then he allows them to be that person 100%. And he's not afraid to try things. And I think it really, really works in those team environments. Once the character knows who they are, I think he lets them kind of run off.
No, yeah, he definitely gives his actors a lot of freedom to make decisions as the character. And like I'm sure he didn't go to like that we were talking about that scene with them all smiling. I'm sure he wasn't like, "Okay, give me the creepiest smile you can do." He probably was like, "Listen, what just happened? You all just got taken over by butterflies, and they said earlier that smiling is different for every face you take over." So just do something, whatever makes you feel uncomfortable. Or so, you know, he gave them some direction and they all took it individually. Like some looked terrifying, some looked creepy, some looked hilarious. It was just like, it wasn't like a carbon copy of what you would think, like all of them would just be in sync and perfect. No, it was each actor had the ability to interpret what that meant. And it made for some really amazing television. Absolutely.
Yep, I agree.
Was there any character that you didn't like?
Man, the silhouette of Wonder Woman and Superman.
No, I mean, okay, yeah, I. So for me, there wasn't a character I didn't like. Eventually, yeah. Like initially, like I didn't like Mern's character. Like I think it was probably because I was feeling there's something there that I'm not understanding. And that's why I didn't like him initially. But by the end of the series, there was not a character that I didn't thoroughly enjoy. Like even Judo Master, like initially it was like, okay, he can fight one note, whatever. And then every single time he showed up, it was like, wait, did you just add like depth to this character? Wait, hold on, what's going on here?
Who I forgot to mention, and it's more of a love to hate character, but Robert Patrick as the Dragon Master was next level evil.
Yes, he's like, such an amazing actor. Like, and he's played the good guy, he's played the bad guy, he's played everything in his long, long historic career, but he jumped into this role and it couldn't have been an easy role for him to jump into. I mean, he's not racist as a person. I mean, he's worked with every type of person in the industry, and for him to embody that racist like attitude, it reminds me of when Leonardo DiCaprio was talking about doing his scenes for Django. Like, he's a great actor, he can get into the role, but he still felt bad. Like, he would go to everyone and apologize, and then Samuel Jackson basically this is us every day, calm down, it's fine, like no big deal, bro. Like, so
yeah,
he's still amazing how he jumped into that. And and I'll piggyback on that with Economist too. Like, initially he was just this annoying like tech nerd, and little by little he became more of a full rounded character.
I that episode where oh god, now I'm going to forget the name of the band they were talking about, which is a shame. But when they're all on the way to the factory,
and they're jamming out,
and they're like, he's like, yeah, dude, they've changed and revolutionized. And like, I think that episode really made him stand out. And more, I mean, he was still kind of one-note-ish, but it gave him more of a full arc and personality. And like, you know, he's going to step up when he has to by the end of it. But just like him, like knowing the band and getting Peacemaker's respect by knowing that band was like enough of a character arc for me to really appreciate it.
He didn't have to do much to be amazing, but my favorite scene with him has to be that scene where he's pretending to be a butterfly and comes clean about dyeing his beard. Like,
that part was good too.
That was just it was pure comedy gold. Like, and I know a lot of times things get cut for time and everything. I'm glad that was something that wasn't cut.
Yeah, exactly. I agree 100%. Because that was a really good part of his. Now I have to look up the name of that band because I'm going crazy.
I believe me, I know that feeling. You run off that rabbit hole and it's like, oh shit, what was that? Oh my god.
Hanoi Rocks, that's what it was.
Yes.
Hanoi Rocks, the 11th Street
Oh
kids.
My god. Yes, and the 11th, I love how they had that little text group. How old I just sounded. I heard they had one of them newfangled text groups and they were talking all the same time, I reckon. Damn, I sound old as hell.
That's one of those AOL discs.
AIM, bitch. Oh my God. That brings back horrible, horrible memories. Okay. All right. So what one part, like, I need you to do one part that really stood out to make this show so great.
So, I mean, man, there are so many parts that I enjoyed. I want to go to like something in the beginning because, like, I mean, I was taken, like, I mean, I'll give you two. I'm going to give you two. One for the beginning, but like one for the whole, the thing as a whole. But the thing in like the very beginning of that first episode, well, A, the intro.
Yes.
The dance and the song number and everything. Like, I never skipped it once. I probably watched it more than once. and then the first eagly hug.
Yep.
Like, I was like, oh, this is good. Like, this is just going to be right up my alley. Like, I felt it just made me feel at home. Like, I was like, okay, I'm in, like, I'm 100% in this world. And then, like, my probably favorite moment, if you're looking at the whole thing as an entirety, is, spoiler alert, when he has to face off with his dad. And that whole, like, I mean, that went on for quite a bit, but, like, man, that scene with him, like, facing off his dad, going against him, and then how Vigilante tries to, like, cheer him up afterwards. Like, you in a matter of, like, 5 minutes, it encompassed the entire series of emotions, of the sense of humor, of how serious things can get. But it always had a great sense of humor about the whole thing, and like the way Vigilante came in right after that, like, such a serious, heart-wrenching, like, crazy moment, and then brought it back to like, this is the show we're in. Like, overall, that the way the whole thing played out really, I think, was the standout of like the entire series for me.
I definitely feel very similar. For me, it was the intro. Because that intro, as you said, I never skipped it once. It got to a point where I would be like, what am I going to watch? And my first thought was, I want to watch that beginning again. Like, I'm not going to be a weirdo who just, like, just watches the intro. Like, if I'm going to watch the intro, I'm going to watch the episode. But, like, I remember thinking more than once, like, man, what am I going to watch? There's nothing new out. I already watched everything. Oh, I'm going to watch the Peacemaker, so I can watch that intro again. Like, I remember thinking that multiple times, and I agree with you on that. And now, if I'm going to think of, like, one thing that really stood out for me was the fact that somehow they were able to not only take themselves seriously, but make themselves a big joke. Like,
yeah.
While, like you said, there's a lot of serious tones in the show, but I'm talking more along the lines of, like, when Peacemaker was being badgered by the neighbor, and he starts talking about how many people has Batman inadvertently killed because he didn't kill the bad guys, and then the jokes about the rest of the Justice League all throughout the series. Like, it looked at it as if it was a superhero movie, as a superhero show, as it was, but grounded in the real world.
Yeah, that's true. I loved how he's like, I don't have any nemesis because all mine are dead.
Do you have a coterie of supervillains? What? Batman has a coterie of supervillains. No, and then the ending. I have to, like, it ties into my whole thesis there, my hypothesis, why it's so good, is that ending when they got Ezra and Momoa to come and do, and they couldn't get everyone. And I don't know if you know, the reason why they didn't get Superman, he wanted to do it, but Netflix actually owns the rights to his face.
What? For Witcher?
Yes. Like, he literally, literally was barred legally from appearing. Like, he wanted to. He said, he's in multiple interviews, he's like, yeah, I wish I could have been there. And even just to, like, do a smirk, I didn't have to say anything. They didn't have to pay me. I just wanted to be there. Because he actually loves playing Superman. Like, he wants to keep playing it. And they're basically like, nah.
Yeah, he kind of got the short change of the Superman stick.
I feel bad because he did nothing wrong as Superman. And I hate, you know me, I hate Superman. I loved his take on Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, like that first, like, Man of Steel, holy shit. Like, I remember seeing that going, wait a minute. Did I seriously just like a Superman movie? What the hell just happened here? Like, I always give movies a shot even if I think I'm going to hate them. And I was pleasantly surprised on that one.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that one years after it came out. I don't know why I missed it right when it came out. I think it was in my Alaska years.
Like, for me, like, I at the time, I think I was just getting back into, like, letting myself be a nerd. Like, I talked about this before my podcast. I pretended I wasn't a nerd for many years, which was horrible. But I digress. It was definitely interesting that they chose to do that, because, you know, they could have just had Flash and Aquaman show up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like why not? Like, they, like, he made sure that it was like, no, the Justice League was about to come here and save it, the whole world, but too late. Peacemaker did it already.
Yep. No, I love that they, both of those guys, came and did lines too.
Yeah.
Making fun of themselves.
No, it was beautiful. Like, it was a joke, yes, but it was done so tastefully, even though it was a crude subject. Like, I mean, it's, like, literally was talking about having sex with fish, and, like, somehow it was still done in a tasteful manner. Like, I don't know how that right there is the crowning achievement of James Gunn.
Yeah, they need a new Emmy Award for best fish. Screwing joke. You got the boys and the peacemaker.
The best naughty fish joke. The winner is James Gunn.
He would win a lot.
Wow. So is there anything at all, like, I know we talked about how much we loved it. Is there anything at all you would change about the show?
I would have, you know, I want to say I would have made it longer, but I feel like it was good.
Yeah, that was my first initial reaction was, man, I wish it was longer. But now knowing that we have a season two confirmed, I'm not too worried about that it wasn't too long. I think the only thing, if I could change anything, would be to somehow touch on what has happened besides just Suicide Squad. Because I know they're in this weird setting where they don't really know what's going on in the overall universe because of what's going to happen in the Flash movie. But, like, I feel like that's why they could have referenced anything else. And it would have been fine because the Flash is going to reset everything anyways. So what's the point? What does it matter?
That's true.
But that's me literally going, all right, find something to be upset about or that you would change. Like, that was literally me going and then really digging for something just to have something to say here.
Right. I mean, you know, I think that it was, man, I don't know if there's anything I would change in it. I don't really think I had any complaints, which is abnormal for me
too,
these days.
No, hey, you and me both. You and me both. I'm usually the first person to go, I have a problem here. Like, but
maybe I have, like, more hair metal on my Spotify playlist than I ever have.
I have the intro song on like every playlist I have. Like, when it comes on, like, I hope that I'm not around anybody, because I'm going to start dancing. Like, I have no choice. Like, my body just takes over. I don't really know the entire dance somehow. I've watched it enough times. I should. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be like, that's it. I'm learning this fucking dance.
I'm learning the dance.
It was actually cool. I saw a new trend. No, I saw, dude, some random person on TikTok that had like 3 followers, like made it with just, and then just, it got tagged. Someone tagged Gunn and he started posting all over Twitter. Like, it was literally like, it was like one day after watching, Peacemaker, and it was just tapping your foot two days after, and then it just slowly it turned into 1 week and it's the whole dance perfectly.
Right. I want to know whose idea the intro was, and I'm sure it was James Gunn, but I want to know like when he had it, like,
yeah,
like how far into the show before they made the intro. Like it seems to me like, I mean, everyone is in it.
Yep.
Everyone who is in the show is in it. So
yeah, and then I actually just watched the first episode too, because I was wondering, because I couldn't remember if the sheriff that was supposed to be on their side, who got taken over by one of the butterflies, was in it, because he didn't show up until like episode 3, I think it was. But yeah, he's in it too. Like, even if they had a small, if they had a speaking role besides Aquaman and Flash.
Yeah, exactly.
They had at least a couple seconds. Yeah, I think even the one of the random police officers too also was in that, like, at the beginning.
Yep, I think so too.
But yeah, it definitely was interesting. And so now that we know we have season 2, do you have any predictions or maybe hopes for season 2?
Man, I would like to see a little. I mean, it would be hard, but it would be cool to bring like one of the other characters from Suicide Squad into that world, where now like this obviously this team has kind of grown strong and formed a bond and a relationship and like got to know the real Peacemaker. But it would be interesting to throw one of those people who saw him as only pure evil into the mix again.
I 100% agree. Like, my hope and / prediction is that they're going to get, oh man, Idris Elba's character. Why am I drawing a blank on who he was?
Bloodsport.
There we go. I feel like Bloodsport's going to come back around and try to assassinate him. Like, try to get payback.
I would want to see that 100%.
Because, like, they didn't really go at it. Like, in Suicide Squad, Peacemaker fought Flag and then just had a shootout with Bloodsport. I would love to watch that. Like, they had that little, like, montage where they were killing all the villagers together in Suicide Squad. I would love to see them go at each other, like full on at each other.
I agree. I am curious if that would be a little too close to the, I mean, it would be so good, but it's almost too close to the serious relationship and the thing that happened with his dad in the first season. If you wanted to take like a fresh route a little bit, but there's a way you could make it really fresh, I think.
Well, see, and my thought would be that it would be some point in the middle, and it would just be, and then by the end of their fight or something, like maybe Harcourt like stops them and explains like, no, this isn't, like, you don't understand, or something along those lines, because I definitely agree that he's made such a swift character change. And it could also put him in that same mindset. But that's one thing about the character, is that he truly believes he's a horrible person for most of the series. And it wasn't until later where he believed otherwise. So to pull him back temporarily would be something that could add a dynamic little like, because my problem moving forward, I'm thinking, so how does this work? Because Harcourt, up until literally the last episode, basically hated him. And then made this full 180, justifiably so. Like, I'm not trying to throw shade, like, oh, it was abrupt. It made sense because of who she is. She's very reserved and always never trusts anybody because of who she's worked with. So it makes sense. So I'm not trying to throw shade there. But now moving forward, they're on good terms. Half of the funny jokes in the show were them going at each other.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So to get back to that would be like, I don't know if you can do it with her. So in order to have at least an episode where there's a lot of back and forth, you need to bring in someone from his past.
Yes.
So that would definitely play very well. And I hope that happens.
And I also, just for fun, need to see some more Weasel.
Right, he's alive. I mean, you know, absolutely 100% alive. So
he is 100% alive.
I like that economist was like, I would rather be fucking Weasel than you.
Yeah, that's why I want to see Weasel. Yeah. Like, I feel like Weasel needs to, like, just make an appearance.
Like, a random appearance. Like, I kind of feel like it's the same thing in, I'm going to jump into Marvel real quick, but, like, with Owen Wilson on a jet ski. Like, I want to see that so bad in WandaVision season, Loki season 2, that I don't give a crap how it happens. Like, just get me Weasel. Just get me Owen Wilson on a jet ski. Like, it's all I want,
That's exactly the same.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. I think that would be just awesome. And I don't know how he can even make it any better than he already did, because he just nailed it. James Gunn just, there's something about those, like, renegade teams that he just really gets.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, earlier that he's so good at, like, being an actor's directors that he can do those team movies so well, because he's really good at letting the actors, I think, embody those characters and kind of play around with them. And he's not so, like, I don't know him, I haven't been on set, but I don't think he's a director that's like, do this, do that, do this, you know what I mean? Everything seems to really flow naturally in his stuff. Yeah. That you have to have room for the characters to be themselves, and I think he creates that kind of environment.
Yeah, I 100% agree on that. And as you said, obviously we've never been on the set. Hopefully one day that will change, but I don't know if I'll make it to a Peacemaker set, because I need about another year and a half, 2 years before I can start getting onto sets like that. I'm working on it. Well, okay,
We can just walk on and see who gets arrested first.
Hey, you know damn well it's gonna be you. I'm little, I can hide. I mean, let's call it like it is, man. I can hide in a freaking bag, bro. I see a duffel on the floor, I'm hopping in that bitch. Like, I'll be on carry-on luggage on a plane somewhere. Oh, man. It's like,
where's that Joker talking suitcase that we need for this scene?
No, exactly. Is that bag doing a Joker laugh? Did someone leave a Bluetooth speaker on?
What was your favorite funny moment or funny scene from the show?
Oh, 100%. It has to be. It's like a two-part scene. It was the part, and it touches on what you said earlier about how you can, the range of emotions. When Peacemaker, I think it was in episode 2 or 3, Peacemaker's in his house, he's crying, he's beating himself up over everything, and Vigilante shows up and is just dumb as a bucket of shrimp. And then that whole interchange was just so funny. But then for them to go, they go and just blow up a whole bunch of shit. That scene, I was just like, oh my God, that is 100% something Peacemaker would have to do to feel better. I feel like anything else wouldn't have been enough.
Yeah.
What about you? What was your favorite funny moment?
I think the thing I laughed the hardest at and watched the most was when they were trying to interview Goth.
Is your favorite color
Vigilante
teal?
Vigilante couldn't figure out. He's like, but there's so many rules.
There's two rules.
And he just couldn't figure out how to ask a yes or no. And then he's like, do you like the color teal?
Why would he need to know that? Don't you think it'd be a cool thing to know what their favorite color is? It'd be surprising that it's teal. Like, what?
And then he's like, yeah, it would be surprising, but.
I love another thing that really was awesome about, it wasn't even the show. It was just almost like, for me, I feel like Gunn, when as you were talking about how they gives them room to do things, so the actors kind of just do a few things, and he records them, obviously, in just case one of them is good, but then he shows us the outtakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like the, when it first happened, I didn't realize it was actually an outtake. Like, I thought it was like a post-credit scene, like it was just more of the argument. And then as the series progressed, I'm like, oh my god, these are all outtakes? Holy crap! Like the best one was with that sheriff guy. The really, really big actor. I can't think of his name all of a sudden.
I forget who he was now.
But the one that was supposed to be on their side. Oh my god, when he's like, when he's just like stabbing him, he's like, "Is this work? Is this how I'm gonna do it?" Stop smiling. Like I said, at first, like I think it was that one that I realized it was all. Like outtakes or like, oh no, the best one. I'm sorry. The best one had to be when they were talking about who he could have used instead of his dad.
Yeah.
What was it? What was the one that economists freaked out about? It was some pop singer. I would never put her name on there.
Oh yeah. I forget.
Ariana Grande. Ariana Grande would never do something like that.
That was funny.
That was great. Oh man. Whew. I looking forward, I just can't wait for next season at this point. But do you have any last thoughts on Peacemaker before we start battling it out?
You know, I do not. I would love to see like the janitor character back briefly. Like I know he had such a minor role, but like it played the intro, it played the very end of the show. And like tied it kind of everything together, so it would be fun to have like some of those really small roles reprise themselves, and that like Peacemaker can maintain a friendship.
No, I love that. Do you know what I really want? I want the neighbor and him to meet.
Oh yeah, that would be good too.
I feel like the conversation between them would just be insane.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh man. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the Batman. Stay tuned. And welcome back. So here we are going to talk about Matt Reeves, the Batman. So to open up, I have to admit, I am probably a little biased here because I personally have been saying how amazing it was for a very long time. So I may be a little biased in some things I might say. But to start off with, how did you like Matt Reeves, the Batman?
Well, I'm going to start off by saying I'm always biased about my opinions. And no.
as should be. If you believe in him enough, obviously you should. You know?
I did not. None of this is planned, and it's all biased. So I really enjoyed the movie. It had some of my favorite Batman moments of any Batman movie. In it for sure. Definitely was not my favorite Batman movie, But I really, really enjoyed the meat and potatoes of it. I think it needed an editor.
Okay, but so you're thinking that maybe it was a little too long?
You know, I can watch a long movie. I don't have a problem with a long movie, but the long part didn't do anything.
Right.
I think that's one of the movies that didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, that was one of the few things. Yeah, that's one of the few things I've seen as likely the biggest complaint is that it was just really long. Now, I agree it was long. But for me, I really enjoyed what made it so long. Like that beginning part when you were just like, you didn't know when you're going to see Batman first. You're introduced to the Riddler first. Like, I liked how they built out almost everyone's individual story and gave every character enough room to breathe. That's why I think I didn't mind the length as much as many people did.
I hear you. We're going to disagree right away. I would say that for me, if you took the first half hour and the last half hour and got rid of them, it would have been my favorite Batman movie of all time pretty easily. But I felt like that, man, that first half hour and that last half hour just really killed it for me.
So what's your favorite Batman movie? Is it Batman the first one, the Keaton one?
So I was thinking of this other night because I was like, am I just biased? So I rewatched it again, and I'm not biased. It's the 89 Batman with Michael Keaton is my favorite. I don't know if that will ever change. And then right after that, and I'm going to be controversial, it's Lego Batman movie.
Now,
I think Batman movie is the Into the Spider-Verse of the Batman movies. And I think that it knows the character more than any of the other movies, almost, I feel like.
So I can't argue that fact. I am really weird. I have not seen a single Lego movie. I haven't seen or played any of the Lego games. I don't get it. I mean, I haven't seen any Lego movie.
Oh man, we're gonna do another one of these then next week. You're gonna watch that Lego Batman movie.
You know how long it took me to see Into the Spider-Verse, because I tried watching it when it first came out. And I just didn't like the animation style, like, right off the bat. I was like, I don't like this. I can't watch this. And then I eventually, so many people were like, dude, trust me. I was like, all right, fine.
You have to.
Fine. I'll go watch it. Like, and then I was like, oh, my God, it's amazing. Like,
I think the one thing that, like, the one thing, the reason I like the 89 Batman, and I had to double check. I mean, yeah, they changed some of the character names and they changed some things here or there, but it's a super simple, straightforward, fun Batman story. There's nothing like it's like a great intro. It's a great, like, Gotham. It's a great, I don't know. I just liked its simplicity, and it didn't seem to try and do too much. It didn't have anything to compete with at the time either, so maybe that helped it out. Right. And then for the Lego one, man, I just loved that. I mean, like, they reference your whole bat. You could tell they know their Batman stuff. They make fun of all the Batman movies. They make fun of themselves. But they really, like, in doing so, they really know the character. You also have all the side characters, which you don't get in any of the other movies, really. So that's why those are my number two. And then between this one and Dark Knight, I have Dark Knight right now. But after a second viewing, it could switch. But I'm not sure. I need to see it again for sure.
That last part, after the first viewing, I always say that, like, so for me, I and honestly, while I love Batman 89, amazing. I mean, Jack Nicholson as the Joker, I mean, what more do you want? But for me,
Prince soundtrack.
Oh, dude, it was great. But for me, Batman Returns was better for me than 89.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
So I compare, like, that's my number. Anyone says, what's your number one Batman movie? It's always Batman Returns. That is my number one. And ironically, the same people, the same characters, for the most part, are in this new Batman.
I was going to say, you got a lot of the same characters.
Exactly. Sure. So that's why, for me at this point, like, I have said this numerous times, The Dark Knight is not even that good of a movie, really. It really isn't. But Heath Ledger did the performance of a lifetime, which made it iconic. You put any other actor in there that just did an okay job as the Joker, that movie flops.
Yeah.
Hands down, flops. So I don't even consider it a very good Batman movie. And I know whenever anyone hears this, I'm going to get attacked. And I don't give a shit.
Well, that's I think enough time has passed. That's the next one on my list to watch again to see how I hold it up to the new one.
Well, see, and I actually, before I went to see The Batman, I watched the same day The Dark Knight. I said, okay, I'm going to go in with a fresh rewatch of The Dark Knight and go, because that's one so many people just go, Dark Knight's the best Batman movie. Dark Knight, Dark Knight, Dark Knight, Dark Knight. It's really not that good. Besides The Joker. What is, like, and I always say that if the movie is good solely because of the villain, while it could be a fun movie, you can enjoy it, it's not a very good movie. Like, that's why I hold The Dark Knight so low on my list, because without Heath Ledger, it's crap. If you look, like, the first villain, even with Ra's al Ghul, it was just an okay movie. Tom Hardy killing it, absolutely slaughtering it as Bane, again, just an okay movie. And then you look at The Dark Knight. Oh, it's the best one. Yeah, because it was the best villain portrayal.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I don't hold them too high. I love them. Don't get me wrong. I own, like, the collector's edition of all three of those and the originals. I mean, the only one I don't own is Batman and Robin. You know, so, because that movie was
everyone
trash.
Should own Batman and Robin.
That movie is trash. One of them. Bat nipples.
George Clooney was a good Bruce Wayne.
Yes, he was a good Bruce Wayne, but a terrible Batman.
He was a terrible Batman.
Terrible Batman. But, and now, like we were talking, like, after the first viewing, I'm still sitting here saying I think it's the best movie. Is it the one I like the most, or the one that I hold nearest and dearest to my heart? Maybe not. But if we're looking in terms of the best Batman movie, I think I have to give it to The Batman after one viewing. I could, and as you said, it could change after numerous viewings. But, man, I kept thinking over and over again how impressed I was during the entire movie. The only thing that and we can talk about this a little bit more in a second, but the only thing that really wasn't top-notch, perfect for me, was Robert Pattinson's portrayal of Bruce. But I actually admit I watched somebody's breakdown of it, and they mentioned the fact that it's his second year as Batman. He doesn't yet know how to be that suave, debonair, like, pretend I'm this reclusive billionaire, come to me, ladies. He doesn't know how to do that yet. So I take a step back there and go, okay, that makes sense. That was a character choice, not necessarily just Pattinson's portrayal.
Yeah. I can see that.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, what makes it your favorite?
So
and
for
I'll
me,
tell you why I think not.
I think the reason why is because it really showed Bruce Wayne, Batman as a detective. It didn't allow like just have some over the top like super villain to like draw in people. It was basically like a real down to earth just psycho genius. And it felt real. Like I could see some like that actually taking place in the real world, and the idea of a Batman in the real world just is just too exciting to not go down that rabbit hole. And when you look at the portrayals of all the characters, that's what really did it for me too. Like there was not a single character that I didn't think was the best version of that. And I know I'm going to get some heat for that because a lot of people are not happy with Jeffrey Wright being Gordon, one either because he's black or because they just love the old versions. I thought he played it fantastically too.
I would say I agree. I think Jeffrey Wright is an amazing actor, and I'll watch anything he does. And I think he was a perfectly fine Gordon. I think he did good with his role that was there. He wasn't a huge part of the plot or the movie. Mm-hmm. He was more of just one of those characters that we like are used to. I think like there's potential for his character to grow more, but I really just think that he was really good at the role, and like I didn't have any issues with him whatsoever.
So, all right, who was your favorite character in the Batman?
My favorite character was, man, I really love John Turturro in anything that he's in, and to see him as Carmine was awesome. I forgot, like, so here's my thing, like I'll like know everyone who's in the movie when it's cast 2 years ahead of time, and then I don't pay any attention at all. So I forgot Colin Farrell was the Penguin.
Yes.
And the credits rolled. And he freaking killed it as the Penguin. I love the scene where they handcuff his legs and feet so he has to walk like a penguin.
Yes.
that I really enjoyed. But man, I think it's hard for me to decide because all three of those villains plus Paul Dano, like when he finally got to go toe to toe with Batman, that scene was just so spine tingling good.
Yes.
Between the two of them, and that the showdown that they had between the two of them was just so good. Man, it's makes it hard to decide, but it would definitely be like one of those three. It would definitely be one of those three. I need one more viewing to make an actual decision, but I feel like those three were definitely my favorite characters.
I definitely gotta agree with 100% with Colin Farrell. I mean, he's unrecognizable, like you, to the point where like you look it up and go, nah, no. No, there's no way. There's no way. Like, and yeah. I do like that they've already announced that there will be a Penguin spinoff TV series for HBO Max, which I think will get a lot more of James Gordon as well.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll get some Carmine in that as well.
I mean, I hope so. Yeah, it'd be in flashbacks. Spoiler alert.
Well, yeah. But I mean, I still think like that there's some of that story to tell that was left out on the table for sure.
Yeah. So I want to talk before I say who my favorite characters, I want to touch on that scene you mentioned about when Paul Dano and Robert Pattinson were going at it in that cell when they were having that little interrogation. I don't know about you, but at first I was certain that the Riddler knew who Batman was.
I did too. I thought he did before they even went in there. And I thought the whole thing, I think that whole scene was kind of brilliant how it played out.
Yeah. Because like, that subtle like, little eye change from Pattinson.
And it kind of bothered me that I was like, well, how the fuck does he know already?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then you kind of realize with Pattinson that he doesn't.
Yeah. Which was even cooler.
Yes. That
scene's probably my favorite scene in any Batman movie when he and Paul Dano go head to head and
it's funny. He's like undiscovered. we talked about Dark Knight. Dark Knight had a very similar scene with the Joker, and again, while Heath Ledger absolutely killed it, this scene. It was both Batman and the Riddler shining versus just the Joker shining.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think I loved this movie so much is that all the characters are my favorite version of the character. Like, don't get me wrong, I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Jim Carrey as the Riddler, but it was a joke. it was really a joke, more of a joke character. But this version of Selena Kyle, Zoe Kravitz, I want her to get her own movie. I want Catwoman starring Zoe Kravitz or have her show up and get her a TV show. I don't care because she was so good as Catwoman by far. And I love Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. That's part of the biggest reason why I think Batman Returns is so good because she did so well. But this, like, and the chemistry that she has with Pattinson, it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, I thought that was good. That's one of my reasons for not liking the end of the movie. They blew, I think, an opportunity. I mean, she's like, I think they blew an opportunity to tell some more really cool story.
Well, so I think they're going to, and I think what I like about it is that very much similar to the comics, there will be a time where Batman looks like he's down and out, and then just somehow Catwoman shows up.
True, but I just didn't like the man. So I'll go to that later. We'll get to that in my what would improve the movie question.
Okay. No, all right. Good. We're both getting sidetracked on this one. I think we're so ready to like debate, and we're finding out that it's really not, our opinions aren't really that different. Now, so we talk about favorite characters. My least favorite character, and not saying that he was bad, was Andy Serkis as Alfred. I think he's too young. That's my only thing.
I had no problem with his age, but they didn't give him anything to do.
Yeah.
They like were like, here's Alfred. Now he's dead. Now you're supposed to care about him.
Right.
But they didn't really give him I would have done a half hour in the beginning if you put a little more Alfred in it and gave him a little bit more plot, you know, like that would have helped that movie. Cause that was something that it was missing is that's probably the only part in kind of the meat and potatoes of the movie that I was just like, well, we don't even care right now because you didn't really make us care about Alfred. You know, like, that was my feeling of it is like they just didn't use him. It wasn't so much that he was not my favorite Alfred as much as they didn't use him properly.
No, I definitely, he should have been a bigger part, but I'm going to come back to what I talked to earlier about Robert Pattinson's portrayal, how he wasn't that stereotypical Batman. This is year two of him being Batman. So at this point, he may not trust Alfred to be that guy. I mean, he trusts Alfred 100%, but not to be his quote unquote guy in the chair type role. You know what I mean? Like he may think that he needs to do this all on his own without anybody's help at this point.
Yeah. I can see that a little bit, but that wouldn't stop Alfred.
True. No, you're absolutely right. Everything about Alfred's character would be like, nice try.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, I definitely agree. That could be something that could have been slightly better. But
he was definitely the character with the most opportunity.
Yes. Yeah. No, I definitely agree. But you know what would have been awesome would have been Torturo and Circus arguing about the Wayne legacy.
Yeah. That
like that would have been a really amazing scene right there. And you know, we may get that. So because now I'm gonna jump out of pattern here, and I'm gonna talk about that cameo at the end real quick. Because there's a reason why I want to talk about it real quick now. Because the Joker's already in prison, already in Arkham. We saw the Joker gang. So, in my opinion, year one was the Joker. And I think they're going to do a prequel later on. Instead of giving us the Joker as the first movie, because that's what kind of what they did the first time around, apparently almost the second time around, so they changed it the last second to have it Scarecrow. And going back, they can have that interaction. Now, that being said, I don't necessarily know if I even want that. Maybe if we get like almost like some flashbacks in a later movie, that'd be cool. But I like this starting point for this Batman.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I did not enjoy that tease at the end. I do not want to see the Joker. It's definitely like, I mean, I get excited when I see Batman and the Joker's coming back to the comics and everything like that. But there's thousands of comics with stuff in between. And we, I mean, like there's people will say there's still a lot of Batman movies, but there's only like 9 watchable, like, and 5 are watchable.
Right. Yeah. Well, now for me though, I agree. Like, and you know me, the Joker is my favorite villain in all of comics. Yeah. So for me to sit here and say, I don't want the Joker right now should really mean something to anyone who's listening right now. We've had that. We've had that enough.
Yeah.
Give me.
Yeah, it just felt lazy to me.
Well, yeah, and I definitely. And now the joke about that is, though, is technically he's not the Joker as of right this second. If you look at the official cast breakdown, he is unseen Arkham prisoner.
Yeah, I've heard people try to say it's Hush.
So that doesn't make sense to me. So now that's an interesting little thought there. I don't think he's Hush either, but I do think that Hush was behind this. I really think Hush wound up the Riddler and set him loose. And he's just happy-go-lucky watching all this go down.
Watching everything.
And I think Hush will be Hush and the Court of Owls. I think they're going to do a mashup. I think they're going to kind of take a little bit of liberties and make Hush a Talon. A rogue Talon.
I'd definitely rather see that than the Joker movie.
Absolutely. I want that's what I want. And we'll talk about that in the predictions or moving forward segment at the end, but that's what I want. I want Court of Owls. That's just such a great story that is so criminally under talked about and underrated, really.
And I feel like the Riddler from that storyline could fit in. Like, I felt like this was a very New 52, Scott Snyder-ish, Tinian-ish version of the Riddler, where he thinks he is doing good.
Yes.
He doesn't see himself as a supervillain. He's not trying to be a supervillain. He's trying to be Batman's partner. and that he's trying to do the same thing and that they should be a team. I really think that that could play interesting in that storyline, and keeping the Riddler, getting them out of Arkham somehow.
Yeah, I know. See, like the way I look at it in my head is, if it is Hush and this was all a scheme from Hush, Batman will be forced to go to the Riddler for help, because he will use his detective skills and try to find the connection to everything. So I definitely think that this is obviously, in my opinion, definitely not the last we'll see of the Riddler either.
Yeah, I think, I mean, especially if you got someone cast that well, and
oh yeah,
like he was obvious, like Arkham is the easiest asylum to break out of.
Yeah, did you know that this movie is actually the first time that they ever said that Martha was in Arkham?
I did. I catch that she was there, but I didn't know that that was the first time.
No, not that she was there, but that she was an Arkham, like the name Arkham.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, that was me, like my mumbling. I thought that was a nice little addition to it.
I think it would be cool to do an Arkham-centric movie.
I feel like it would be like Scrubs, but with therapy. I think that would be awesome. Oh my God, think about that's how they can introduce Harley Quinn.
Right? I mean, you can get some fun I think you could get some fun story. Maybe that's a TV series they need to do.
Yeah, like, oh no, I think they could definitely do that, especially how they set it up with like Blackgate and what was the I mean, this, we're talking about different, like technically different universes right now because there's different Batmans, but the Suicide Squad with the Belle Reve, like they could definitely have at their disposal a lot of villains that they could have as one. They could take that Suicide Squad model and have a whole team of people that are just there for one episode.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh,
no, that could sure. definitely be cool. That would definitely be cool.
That'd be interesting.
I know Warner Brothers doesn't have as far a reach as Disney, but WB, if you're listening, or Discovery now, whatever the hell you are, we've got some ideas. Okay, so we kind of touched...
decide what Batman you want.
Hey, right now I want this Batman. I mean, I'm...
What Batverse are we in? Yeah, but it's all going to change after the Flash movie.
So I had a theory that this is actually technically taking place post Flashpoint. And this is how they're going to retcon, or whatever you want to call it, their Batman or their team, is they're going to have Robert Pattinson be the new Batman of the new Justice League when it forms.
Interesting.
Silence. Uh-oh. Did I strike a nerve? Interesting.
I don't know how I feel about Pattinson yet.
Oh man, I don't know to how me, I mean, granted, I
feel like he did good and he was good, but I feel like Matt Reeves was too involved, and I don't think I liked what Matt Reeves did with it. I think I have more of a problem with Matt Reeves than I do with Pattinson.
You know, I definitely might have a different perspective on that, because I enjoy stupid film things that no one else enjoys, like stuff like the cinematography aspects that most people don't even notice. I like noticed them all and I loved it, like the stylization of the dark, gritty reds and blacks and all of that. Like, I really enjoyed that. And going back to the, like, we talked before about how that intro where he's like walking in, you didn't like so well.
Ooh, I the more I think about it, the more I do not like it.
See, and the reason why I do like it is because it was shot cinematically from the point of view of Batman. So you were looking through his eyes and how he is, he was looking at himself, at how they are judging him like that. Like, I thought of it as if I was Batman there. And I think that's why I really like that.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I did not see that at all. I just saw some like kind of pretentious filmmaking getting in the way of a good movie.
And again, see, and I, in my head was like, this is a really interesting film technique. I love it. Like, so like it just shows the difference there. Cause like, I like that. Like, for me, as someone who would hope to one day be a filmmaker, I like that from the point of view of Batman, looking at them all looking at him, I felt that was impressive. Like, and that's like just a different style.
When he walked in on that gang, is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about when he walked in on the crime scene.
Okay. I was more talking about the gang.
Talk about that slow walk in.
First time you see Batman. When the first time you see him, I think when he's like,
okay. Yeah, so we were talking about different scenes. So now I definitely understand what you're saying. Like, I was every time he did that slow walk out, it was like,
it was awful.
Yeah. One thing that I was going to talk about with
when the first time you see him, the first time you see him on screen, and he's like I don't know, it was the worst walk ever, and it was the worst camera shot. It was all like, it was the worst introduction of Batman ever, and it really put like, I was like, man, it better get better from here, and it did. But there's lots of little things like that I was like, I know that Robert Pattinson did not decide to walk that way.
No, yeah. No, I definitely agree that this movie made a point to be overly cinematic. I don't know if that's because of a lot of people's opinions in the industry. Maybe they made it hoping that it could be seen as a regular movie so that it can be with Oscar buzz and blah, 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 blah. Political BS, maybe. But
I feel like they only did that in the first 30 minutes and the last 30 minutes.
And I was literally about to say that, just like at the end when that scene where he was like leading them out.
Oh my God, that was so awful.
Okay, for where were they going? like that was my thing. I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, so you're gonna lead them outside where there's an active flood going on?
Yeah, it was
a cool shot, don't get me. And then, again, here's the film nerd in me going, but it was really cool looking, and it probably took a lot to do. And like the film nerd in me just takes over at that part. I'm just like, all right, I'm fine with it, it's fine, even though it doesn't make sense realistically.
Yeah. It just drove me like, I don't want to sound like an old curmudgeon, because I went to film school and was going to make movies. And so like, I'm super into it when it works. But for me, it just did not work for that first 30 minutes. And that, like I said, man, the meat and potatoes of it is some of the best Batman I've ever seen. But just like, it took too long to get there, and then he didn't know how to end it. And instead of like just like doing stuff to carry the plot, it just seemed like he wanted to be artsy, kind of artsy fartsy to be artsy fartsy. And I think it would have done the movie better if he just like told the story.
No, I could see that. And then we talked about that before, how it definitely was a very technical, artsy type look at Batman. I think that's part of what also helped it in certain ways, but I definitely don't disagree with you in that. So like, the very first 30 minutes I think is more important than the last 30 minutes, because what really threw me off, what bothered me, was they had this whole crime noir feel going, and then at the end it switched up into like, they had to have a big set piece where Batman's fighting people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's a Batman movie. And I feel like that was part, I think that was studio, in my opinion.
Yeah, And it ruined it. I loved the middle part. Like, I loved the main plot so much. And there was so much potential for it to be the easily, hands down, the best Batman movie. But man, his intro drove me nuts. I found the, like, very first scene where you hear the Riddler's breathing and you're seeing everything through his eyes. And then you kind of see the murder a little bit and the slow reveal. And then you finally get Batman. And I, like, the first part was interesting, but it was definitely unnecessary in my opinion. I think it might have served the movie better if the whole movie started with Batman walking into the murder scene.
Yeah.
Batman's intro, like, I am the shadows, I am vengeance, I am... You saw, like, they gave three examples of people seeing or, like thinking they see the Batman, and they're all, like, scared shitless and run away. And then finally, when people actually do see him, they're like, who are you? I was like, what the fuck? You just spent 10 minutes with poetry trying to show me how everyone's afraid of him, and now, like, no one even knows who he is. I was just like, you gotta make up your mind. You gotta I just didn't know what they were doing in that first 30 minutes when they were introducing the character or whatever. You know, when, like, people were running from nothing, and then when Batman's finally there, they didn't know who he was and no one was scared. Yeah. And that part kind of made me it was, like, really hard to get through that part. I was like, oh my gosh, please. But once it got going and it got into the plot and it got into the characters and it got into everything, it got really, really good. And then it just should have ended in that scene. It should have just ended with them in Arkham.
Yeah. No, that would have been a very good way to end it there.
Maybe he teases that, well, something bigger is coming. That's your tease. And then you start the movie with the Riddlers. The next movie starts with the last half hour.
No, I was thinking about that, like, to do the, like, almost like Lord of the Rings route, because the ending of it's like a reverse, I guess. The ending of the Fellowship of the Ring is actually the beginning of the second book. It just fit better as an ending there.
Yeah.
So the opposite. I definitely like that idea, like, to have at the end, they end there and then, like, or maybe add, like, one extra little part where an orderly or someone goes, what's so funny? And then Riddler goes, you think this is over? Cut to black.
Yeah, I think that would have been much more effective than how it played out. And then you can still have the story arc where, you know, I think it would have been by the time, I mean, it was such a long walk. I don't even know what that saying is, but, like, it was such long a long walk ride for a short to get drink. For him to be like, I am vengeance, and realize, oh my god, what have I done? Like, oh my god, shut up, I don't need any of that. I just wanted a good Batman story. Why are you trying to teach me a lesson and get all pretentious? And, like, it was just by that point, I didn't give a shit, you know what I mean? I was done. I was like, well, I want more of the Riddler. Like, I kind of wanted the Riddler to win, in all honesty, just with how the movie was playing and how well that scene went and everything. And then it just kind of, like, man, I feel like the Riddler would have had more people there. Like, the whole end was just unrealistic to me. And I think if you just cut it off right at that part, like you said, and fade to black, and you start your next movie with that. And then if you want to make it short, it's a good little intro. It's a perfect, like, this is a new Batman. I've changed and I'm not vengeance. I just think it would have been a better overall story. And I think I would have definitely liked this movie a lot more without that last half hour.
No, I could definitely see that for sure. Because that was one thing I kept thinking. Catwoman's
still around.
Yeah.
Catwoman didn't leave yet then. You know, you have access to all these characters. Like, I don't know why Batman, Batman, there always has a team, man. There's like 1,000 people who are different versions of Batman because they love Batman. You know, like, let's get these people into the movie. I know you're a Nightwing fan.
Yes.
Like,
and I think that's another reason why, because we talked about this before, about how I wasn't upset that they parted ways because they name dropped Bloodhaven.
Yes.
Like, so for me, I was like, oh my God, Nightwing. Wait, we don't have a Robin yet, but I don't care, Nightwing.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, like, you're a long way from like.
Yeah, that was my first thought. I was like, did they just say Bloodhaven? Oh yeah, we're getting Night. Wait, we don't have a Robin. Shit.
Like, you know, I want Damian to show up. So we need to get through Dick. We need to get through a lot of Robins.
Yeah, definitely. No, absolutely. Because there's that shit. And then I think they just introduced like a new one that came out of nowhere recently too, whatever. But all right. So what was one thing that really surprised you about the Batman?
I think we kind of went over it already again, but it was that scene at the end where Batman realizes the Riddler doesn't know who he is. And that kind of took me through, because I was kind of on the ride that, oh my God, he knows, like with like sending Bruce Wayne to the orphanage and, you know, all of that stuff, through it. I'm like, oh my God, he knows, like, he's done his research. He knows what's going on, and he wants to like have Batman team up or expose his true identity was my thought. So when that scene happened, it totally took me by surprise.
Was one of the best parts of the entire movie, was that exchange there. It was just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And then I was going to have to say, like, I was pleasantly surprised with how much I enjoyed it after I was a little bit struggling through that first 20 or 30 minutes. I think it took a really change in direction and a real change in tone during most of the movie.
Yeah. So for me, it's something that I initially hated, kind of almost along the same lines as Vigilante. When I saw the trailer and I saw that Batmobile, I was like, fuck that. That is not a Batmobile. Get out of here with that crap. But when that thing showed up and it started going, I had this like rush of like 90s nostalgia. I don't know how, but for me, it kind of reminded me of the animated Batman mobile, but realistic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Instead of having that super long, exaggerated like front end, it's just a regular car that had that beefy front and those wings. And I remember seeing the trailer. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. I don't care if it's year two. That is not a Batmobile. Oh, that's a fucking Batmobile. That is a Batmobile. And that led to the second. This might be one of those stylish points that you didn't like as much as I did. But when he was chasing the Penguin, that was the absolute best ever chase in a Batman movie, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then that scene that looked like a Bermejo cover when it was crashed.
Yes.
No, I don't. So I don't want you to think I don't like style in a movie.
Well, no, I know you. I know you, so far that has been the I thought that was like a little in my head when I'm watching, a little pretentious. Like, oh, you had to have him walking upside down because he's a bat, blah, blah, blah.
But
I mean, it's a cool shot.
It worked in the context of the story, and it did advance the story in a cool way. Hmm. I don't think it was like too time consuming either. It was just like a cool shot in the middle of the movie, and I that's was definitely one on my positive list.
Yeah, that, like I said, that, man, that I remember thinking that is the ugliest Batmobile ever. And then when once it turned like that, when it revved up, it even sounded like the Batmobile from the animated series. Like I said, immediately was just like, oh, I love it. Oh my god, like that is the coolest Batmobile. It's that, so much better than Bale's freaking tank.
And I did like the motorcycle that he rode, like he did in the year one, or was it year zero?
I think it is year zero, but yeah, I know exactly what you, when he had the crossbow. I agree with that entire, it was, and you know what's so funny is like, that was the first leak shot we saw, was that scene when the stunt double was driving the motorcycle. I find that hilarious that we literally saw like the ending of the movie and none of us had any context and had no idea.
Right.
Because I remember thinking, I was thinking of all the leak scenes that I saw, and I was like, where's that first one? Oh my god, it's the last scene. Holy crap.
Right.
That's the same thing like with the very first leak we got for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It was the final battle between the Flag Smashers and Captain America. Like we're watching, I remember watching it going, what is this? And always thinking the whole show, like, where's that? I haven't seen anything that resembled that. Oh my god, the freaking season finale! Like, I feel like somehow they need to fix that. Like, if you're gonna let someone like maybe like shoot a scene where someone might see it, can we not have it the ending of the season or the show or the movie? Like, can we try at least to make it just some random bullshit at the beginning? Like.
Right.
But yeah, that was my favorite surprising part that really stood out to me. And again, what really we've been this whole time we've been talking about what we would change and things like that. So we don't really, but the one thing that also stood out was the casting. Like, you don't, like, I don't know about you, but initially, even though I had faith because he's such an amazing actor, Robert Pattinson, I'm like, really? I mean, he has the jawline, sure, but is he Batman? I don't know. Jeffrey Wright, I mean, another fantastic actor. I mean, is he going to do it? I don't know. Wait, Colin Farrell as the Penguin? Who the hell are you talking to? Like, there's no way.
Right.
And then just somehow they all nailed it.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I don't know. I really enjoyed Pattinson when he was good, but I definitely, I don't know, he didn't, like, I didn't buy into him. I had a hard time buying into him when he wasn't fully dressed as Batman.
No, and
not so much the Bruce Wayne part of it, I think it was a lot of the director's choices that led to that, and not so much Robert Pattinson. I think it has to do with some of the style and cinematography choices that were made, and not so much Robert Pattinson himself. Because I feel like on a movie like this, he has some say, but he doesn't have. He doesn't have a lot of room. That's why lots of actors have quit that job.
Yeah,
because it's a tough role to be in. So like I said, I think he did a really good job, but I think it's one of those situations where I don't think the director intended to hurt him or put him in a bad situation, but I think some of the choices that were made left a little bit to be desired on my end. But I mean, dude, he did such a good job too at the same time. I don't want to like people to think that I don't like him, but I'm definitely like need another viewing to make all my decisions, because I feel like a lot of the stuff that I did not like had nothing to do with Pattinson himself. I think it was artistic choices.
No, I definitely could see that. It definitely was overly stylized. And I, like I said, we touched on it in the beginning. I kind of think that was more I feel like the pitch for this movie to the studio was like, all right, I'm going to make a Batman movie that will be nominated for best movie.
Yeah.
And the studio goes, yeah, all right, go ahead. Let's see what you got, my friend. And that's what we got. Now, I'm usually the first person to not give two craps about the awards. Because I nine times out of ten, I feel like it's all bullshit. I mean, the fact that it took until Denzel Washington was a crooked cop for him to win his first Oscar, or Halle Berry had to bang a white dude to get her first Oscar, I'm sorry, I call bullshit. It's all political, it's all a bunch of crap, and it's not really worth a damn thing.
I agree. Training Day is one of my least favorite Denzel Washington movies.
Yes. I mean, again, I mean, that movie, I love Training Day, but I did not necessarily like his role in the movie. Like, the fact that he didn't win for John Q is a slap in the face to actors everywhere. I mean,
yeah,
that performance was one of the greatest performances ever given and didn't win. Ah, whatever. But again, it's all political. So does the Batman have a chance to win best film? Probably. I mean, especially Warner Brothers, they're going to push it. They're going to submit it. They're going to do a whole campaign and try to get it nominated, and because that's like the one thing that all superhero and comic book and any type of adaptation has always going to be held against it is that the real cinema people don't consider it real cinema. I feel like this may have been almost an attempt to silence that once and for all. Because if this gets nominated and wins like best picture, I mean, it's Scorsese and all them going to complain then. They're the ones that are powerful in the political, like it's all that political stuff.
Movies they come out losing too.
Right. No, I mean, fair enough. I mean, but and the biggest thing about all this is that both of us have said this numerous times, we have to watch it again. There's no way to really answer these questions definitively, but I felt like we had to at least say something.
I agree. I was kind of always vague with my because I really enjoy the movie. I'm definitely watching it again, but it is not one, like, if I do, I see myself seeing it, I'll see it again in the theater for sure, but after that I have a feeling I'm gonna skip the first 20 minutes and the last half hour when I watch it. You know.
Yeah, I mean it definitely the length, there were parts that definitely dragged on. Like there's been, like, for instance, like Avengers Infinity War was long as shit, and I don't remember even once thinking, how long have I been here?
Yeah. Yeah,
there was at one point where I was like, hold on, how much more is even in this movie? And looked at the time and was like, okay, it's almost over. Like, I will give you that 100%.
Especially at the end there, because like it was such a big end. And I was like, you can't even fit what is supposed to happen in that amount of time to make it worth anyone's, like, oh. Oh, I'll watch it again, but man, I just feel like they threw that end together and threw in some artsy fartsy shots that didn't do anything. And then the whole I am vengeance, and then the whole coming to terms, like all of it was just like too much. It should have been its own thing or separate, or I don't know. It just didn't seem to fit with everything else. It didn't fit with. And it all seemed too fast. Like if the Riddler had executed that plan and had done everything he did, like that movie should have been an hour longer of an ending, not 30 minutes, you know?
Right. Well, I really do think that part of that ending, that extra 30 minutes that we keep referencing, was because of the studio. I really think that he turned in something, was like, I want to end it with the two of them laughing. They're like, but there was no big battle at the end. That's not a superhero movie. Sorry. go back. I need a final set piece. I'm sorry. No. Like, I don't know why, but I feel like that's because, like you said, that part right there where it went to that, them laughing, that would have been such a perfect ending.
Yep.
And I feel like the fact that the extra part was there had to have something to do with the studio. That's, and that I have no inside information. I don't have anyone in the DC camp. I do have a couple people in Marvel. But I don't have anyone in DC or Warner Brothers or anything like that. So I have no clue of anything that's gone on. But I've just got this weird feeling the way that Warner Brothers has done that before. Basically told their directors, no, that's not happening. Like the original Suicide Squad, it was, the ending was completely different. The Joker was in it a lot more. The Harley chooses the Suicide Squad over the Joker, realizing how abusive he is and how horrible he is. And there's a big fight between the Joker and the Suicide Squad before they even fight Enchantress. That was all cut because the studio was like, no, we need to sell Joker and Harley merchandise. No. She can leave him, but she can't tell him to go screw himself because they have to be together at the end. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah. Little did they know that she was going to have a girlfriend soon and everyone would love that way more.
Oh my God. Definitely. Yes. Harley Quinn, the animated TV show with Hayley Cuoco as Harley is just amazing. I mean, there's nothing you can say bad about that show, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a super good show.
We'll definitely have to do a wrap up of that when that that new season comes out, whenever it finally comes out.
Right. I think I had there's two seasons, right?
Yes, and the third one is confirmed.
I gotta see the second season. I gotta see the second
Is it two seasons or is it just one? I can't remember. I mean, I know I've watched it multiple times, but I literally just hit play and let it keep going. I don't really look at seasons.
Yeah, like, that's what I do too.
It's funny. Like, I've seen all the shows I watch, I rewatch them over and over again. People are like, so I bet you know what season, what episode. No. How do you not know? You say you've seen it so many times because I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care what season it's in. The only time I ever really cared what season it was in Community when they didn't have Dan Harmon for that one season. That's the only reason why I know what season that was. Like, because it changed drastically. Yeah. Like, I don't know that. I know the arcs. Like, if you want, like I watch Supernatural a lot. It's just a show I always just have on. Like, I can talk about the arcs, but what season and what episode those arcs were in, you can kiss my ass. I don't know shit.
Right? I have no idea.
But yeah, that's exactly. And but yeah, all in all, I think more we talked, I think the more I agreed with your thoughts on it. I may have to come down from my high horse. Maybe I was wrong. It's not the best Batman movie. But
it can be your best Batman movie.
But the more you talk, the more I started to agree with you and the less I think it's the best Batman movie.
Oh, careful. Remember last time you almost did that?
Yes, I do remember that. That's why I said Loki. I might
you
have
got
to.
Loki wrong.
Well, but that's why we've said it all throughout the episode. After one viewing, it's hard to make these concrete, like, cemented answers. That's why we started off with Peacemaker, because I'm sure you've watched it numerous times. I know I've watched it, the whole series, at least 3 times at this point, and if not just for the intro.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen it 3 times through because I watched the whole thing again before the last episode.
Yeah.
When I was waiting that week.
I can't wait any longer. I have to watch the whole season.
yeah. I need to watch it all again. I do that with Ted Lasso too.
Oh man, am I caught up? I don't know if I'm caught up. There's 3. The third season is coming up, right? There's only been 2 of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, there's only 2. The third, I think, is going to start in September-ish. They want to start it when the Premier League starts again, so they'll have their summer break or whatever, and then I forget exactly when it starts, but I think it's around September or August. Okay. Is when I think I heard. And I heard that they one of the actors, they were talking, they actually got a deal with the Premier League. So like, they're going to have actual Premier League teams and other coaches and like
get awesome. To be on the,
yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be a little more immersive, to the real football world.
That's so awesome. So we're definitely going to have to do a season wrap up. To my knowledge, they only plan 3 seasons. So this could be the end of the series as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, 3 seasons as a coach of a team in the British Premier League is actually longer than reality.
Right. Well, especially for an American.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. But yeah, well, that's, we got a lot of stuff. Between you and me, I think a lot of us in our little hemisphere are doing a lot of big things, but I think that you and me might be doing a lot more than people realize, and they're all going to be really surprised when they see what we've got cooking.
I agree. Especially with some of the most recent developments too.
Yes. I definitely agree. And yes, we are being very secretive and not saying anything really, and we're doing that on purpose. You're just going to have to stick around and find out what we've got cooking.
Exactly.
Lots of things
cooking. I got like 5 ovens for all the things we got cooking.
Dude, I had to get a whole greenhouse for the stuff that we're cooking.
Well, you might need to send me some of the stuff you're cooking.
Well, listen, we already talked about that. That's a more in-person kind of thing. Okay, Duffy, my friend, I want to thank you so much for coming back on the channel. I had Jason Douglas on yesterday, so this has been a very full circle kind of weekend. And it reminded me of how I felt when I first started this podcast. So I really appreciate you taking the time to stop by for me.
Yeah, I appreciate getting to go the same weekend as Jason Douglas.
Hey, that's pretty good company.
I know. We might be having to talk about him again soon too.
Yes, we will. All right. Everyone, if you're still listening, I don't even know how long it's, I think it's been about 2 hours, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not good with time at this point. It's all blurred into one. But
well, thank we could you get so another much. Hour if you need it.
Oh, you know, it'll be Duffy, like we can literally.
I'm gonna give you 30 minutes. You don't. I'm gonna give you 30 minutes. You don't want. See, let's get pretentious.
Well, if we're gonna get pretentious, I want to go on record again to state that I don't understand why I'm not famous yet. How many more things do I have to like get right before they're like, you know what? He kind of knows what he's talking about.
Well, I think after people realize that you're agreeing with me on the Batman movie a little more, they'll be more in your corner.
I have a feeling this is going to be like the the thing we always go back to. Yeah. And you like the Batman. Yeah, and this is just like the last 30 minutes of Batman all over again. Oh, that's definitely gonna be an inside joke now. I see that coming. Oh man. All right, so everyone, I'm gonna go do a little pitch here. I want you guys to go to DuffyBoysComics.com. Take a look at all of the great books that my good friend Duffy has available as of right now, with more books to come. Maybe even some joint exclusives with somebody pretty cool. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But yeah, go. It's www. You didn't even got to type that anymore, but whatever. DuffyBoys.com. got some great books from the writers of Good Boy, as well as Good Boy, Christmas Caroline. What's the other one?
I'm posting a lot more on there this week, but right now you can get Postmasters as a pre-order.
So good.
Postmasters should be coming really soon.
Yeah.
So it's not releasing as a regular book until the summer. There'll be exclusives for that. There are 4 people who are dropping exclusives before the summer release, and I will be one of those people. You can't lose me. I'm here for 30 minutes.
Duffy, you there?
I'm here.
That was crazy. I don't know what happened. It just like went nuts on me for a second, but you were talking about Postmasters.
Yes. So I was going to say there's a bunch of exclusives coming out, but there's the main book isn't coming out until the summer. But there's going to be 4 exclusives dropping before that you can pick up the full story and everything in. And I will be one of those 4. So you can pre-order that now on the website. And then available now is Christmas Caroline and Good Boy 2 and 3 covers. And then you're going to see a bunch more random stuff going up. I think I'm going to post some toys and some Pokemon stuff too.
Mm. DuffyBoysComics.com.
Oh, yeah.
But again, thank you so much, Duffy. Until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime signing off.